What's up? I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast,
where we interview successful businessmen and women to let you in on why success doesn't have a single formula to follow.
We also have a little bourbon tasting along the way, because why not?
So guys, please enjoy this episode and let us know your thoughts at Bourbon and Business Podcast on Instagram.
Coming to you from the Bourbon and Business Studio here in the Capitol Club in downtown Jackson, Mississippi. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast. Dakota, how are you today?
I'm fantastic, Tyler. How are you? I have this wonderful view to look at. It's breathtaking.
I know. I'm looking straight at the state capitol right now.
The state capitol. Look at there. There it is. Exactly. Wow.
So big shout out to our sponsor, the Capitol Club here in downtown Jackson. If you haven't checked this place out, you're really missing out. They do lunch every day. They have an exclusive membership where you get access to the club here. Probably one of the coolest places in downtown Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah, so, no doubt.
So I really love what they're doing here. Love the atmosphere and the people. So
it has a timeless elegance to it, you know?
It does.
Great event space, great membership packages. It's the real deal.
Yep. Well, check them out. Well, Dakota, do you want to introduce our guest to us today?
I do. Today we have J.R. Crowell, owner of Steady Home Maintenance, and he also has two more businesses of which we just learned. And
yeah,
J.R., would you mind elaborating on those a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, we'll dig into them. Steady Home Maintenance is probably the what I'd call the big shovel. It's the main one. We've got a real estate investment company, and then I'm partners in a real estate lending company where we loan to house flippers and acquisition style buy and hold rentals.
The man does it all, Tyler.
Yeah, he just a little bit. So if it comes to a house, he can pretty much do whatever.
Yeah, I'm calling J.R. the next time I got an issue.
I like it.
Well, Tyler, what kind of bourbon did you bring for us today?
So we have a special bourbon today. One of our previous guests dropped this off for us. So Dr. Wendy Lewis, thank you. The name of it is 30. It's from the 30A Distilling Company. And it is, I appreciate you, JR. Mm-hmm. Dakota's just leaving me because you're right here. It's called Bourbon Whiskey Blue Mountain Beach.
It's called Blue Mountain Beach.
Well, sorry, the label, it said bourbon whiskey.
Yeah, well, it's just telling you that it's bourbon whiskey.
So, well, but anyways, cool bottle. I'm about to give it a taste here to see what I think about it.
It looks like it's got handwritten on here, batch number 7, bottle 205, proof 95, and it's a fifth.
I'm not going to lie, Dr. Lewis, I was a little worried when I saw that it was from 38. Nothing. I love 38. I just never have thought of them about as a whiskey distilling place, but this is some of the best bourbon that I've had to date on the podcast. I mean, very smooth.
Wow.
Extremely smooth.
That is smooth. All right. What's your rating?
I'm going to have to give them a 9.7.
Ooh-wee.
I mean,
9.7.
That's great. That's great.
It's pretty high. So,
I hate to ask how much she paid for it, so we won't, but Dr. Lewis, thank you so much. What a gift.
Well, to get started this morning, JR, so what we always like to do is kind of get your background, where you're from, where you grew up, and then how you got into the businesses that you are today.
Yeah, sure. Happy to do that. And appreciate y'all having me. This is it's going to be fun. I am from Kosciuszko originally.
Uh-oh. Tyler's from Kosciuszko.
Well, my wife's from Kosciuszko. I'm from Baden.
That's right.
Okay.
But I lived in Kosciuszko for like 6 or 7 years.
When?
Back in 2013 to 2018.
Yeah, I was going by then, but my dad lived there up until 2020. So I would come back and hunt and fish a little bit, but I guess we just never crossed paths.
Small world.
Yeah, it is. Kindred spirits. Here we go. Yeah, so Kosciuszko, and then of course left, went to college, and my first job out of college, I was an outside sales rep for a technology company, sold copiers, printers, document management, just kind of cut my teeth on straight commission sales. And then I got into banking for a while and was a commercial lender actually for Trustmark, and I spent a lot of time in that building that we're looking at here. And when I got into commercial lending, I realized pretty quickly that I was going to learn a lot, but that was not probably where I wanted to camp out for a while. I felt like I wanted to be on the other side of the table at some point, you know? And so, but I realized I could probably spend that time learning. I did. I got a great education, as far as cash flow management and what business needs, and I think kind of helped me out on the other side of the table, because now I know how to talk to our bankers and give them what they need and, you know, kind of help their process a little bit. And then I went into, when I left the bank, I went to work as employee number one for a chemical grouting company and kind of helped grow them across the state doing soil stabilization. But that's where I really got my taste in running a company, and that wasn't mine. So I was kind of able to play with house money a little bit and learn and test and do before I put our name on something, you know. And then right before COVID started, had two partners, and we were trying to find some home service businesses to buy. And right when COVID hit, market just kind of got frothy, and good or bad, revenues were up or down, and we just got a little uncomfortable. Had bought a business before and thought, I don't know if this is the right time. This is kind of weird. Well, we kind of started looking at real estate, and I'd always been interested in house flipping and rentals and those kind of things, and decided, well, if we can find some houses to flip, we can work together, do some projects, put our money to work, and then maybe interview some of these subcontractors that we could potentially buy one day. That was kind of the game plan. So we got into that and ended up just loving it. I just really enjoyed the real estate space, enjoyed the flipping aspect, and before you knew it, we were in a couple of different states flipping and buying rentals. And then fast forward to now, as we got, I guess towards the end of last year, real estate market started to slow down a little, and wanted to start, had an idea to start a handyman business for a while, kind of light construction company. And as the real estate market tapered off, I finally had the bandwidth to think about that and start pushing that a little bit. So we started Steady last year to try to fill a niche in the handyman space. And then real estate lending kind of merged somewhere in there too. So that's the 10,000 foot view, and we can dive into anything you want to dive into.
What is that niche that you just mentioned?
For the home service space? Yeah, so Steady got started.
Because I've seen a couple of maybe trucks or vans going around town. I'm like,
both.
What is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the idea behind it, it's a couple of things. It's a subscription-based handyman service, which is different.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a disruptor for sure. And had the idea for a couple of years. And so right before we started, I surveyed the Jackson market, and y'all may have even filled out a survey and just didn't know it because we had them kind of all over the place. And we did them for about 6 or 7 months. And the first idea was we wanted to present maybe a package of items that we would do at your property every month or every quarter. You know, maybe change air filters, reach hard-to-reach light bulbs, clean out gutters, those kind of things. And that didn't survey very well at all, but what people wanted was somebody almost on retainer that they could call, or that they had a predetermined time. We would come out and just work for X amount of time on a list that they gave us. And so we heard the market, we listened, and we put it out. And so we have where you can subscribe either to quarterly or every other month when you're pre-scheduled for the year. And so if you think about your house and you need something small done, it's hard typically to find somebody to do that $200 item or $400 item. It's just not a ticket that a big contractor wants to come do. And so we love those. That's what we kind of descend on and built our model around. And we don't have to be a subscriber to use us. So you can still just call us and work with us, but we only want the small things. You know, our highest ticket, I mean, we'll do big remodels. That's more in our investment side, but our highest ticket's probably $2,000. You know, so just, I mean, really, really small work. We just felt like there was a niche that just wasn't being served. You can Google handyman and you may get 4 or 5 that are listed with maybe one review, and that's it. They're just not branded well. And so I think the way we approached it, with kind of a business idea first and then build the skill second, we had branding in mind and then growth in mind. And so
well, that's really cool. Genius. I didn't even know that was an option. Like, yeah. My wife has me on retainer for that. Right
now. Like, you could just sub us in and like, be none the wiser. You know,
like, when I get home today, I think I got to get pine straw through. So
yeah. And that's, you know, that's what's neat too. We had it geared towards the busy professional that's got a lot going on. I mean, y'all are up here, you know, working, doing your thing. And then you've got this on the side that's now becoming probably just as much full time as your full time, right? So you don't have a lot of time during the day. Then you throw a couple kids in there, some activities, just not a lot of time left. And so we had it geared more towards that.
Genius. So your roles in real estate investment and now home repair. I know you kind of talked about how COVID helped spur a little bit of that.
Yeah.
What's it been like transitioning from the just investment piece to like actually doing the, and I don't know if you actually do the actual home repairs or not. I'm assuming you know how to do them though.
Yeah.
So what's it been like going from, all right, you know, we're making deals, we're doing cash flow, all that kind of stuff, to, all right, this daggum bolt will not come off of this washing machine.
Yeah. I say it went from lazy money to hard work money. That's what it went from. Because we came out of, I mean, realistically, we came out of the last 2 years of unprecedented real estate. That, I mean, y'all probably watched it and seen it, but it was not, if you couldn't make money flipping a house the last 2 years, probably not going to. I mean, yeah. we could buy a house yesterday, and the next morning when I got up to eat, it was 20% appreciation and sell it and keep moving. You know, it was that kind of just Wild West real estate. And so, but we were doing what Steady does. We were doing it already for all of our properties and had been. I've always been a handy guy. I like to build furniture on the side. So I've been around that. And so Steady was also more of a pet project as real estate was slowing down. I was like, I want to get my hands dirty again. I kind of want some of that to do, you know, but since we'd already been doing it, it was not that hard to spin it off to the general public, especially I was like, if we're having trouble getting somebody to do the small stuff, surely everybody else is, right? And that was part of the survey. But yeah, the transition has been. I said lazy money to hard work money. But as we're growing, that's still, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I've always wanted to do business acquisition and buying. And so that's kind of what Steady's become the platform for is to continue tucking in some of those home service providers that we wanted to do in the first place.
Well, and you know, it's funny you say that because one of the biggest complaints I hear from people is trying to find a handy person to come to the house and do something that's not backed up for, you know, 4 or 5 months.
Or rude or overpriced or, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So. Yeah. And we've got a guaranteed 48-hour turnaround. So, and that's when I first put that out there in marketing, somebody said, are you sure you want to say that? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. We may die on the hill, but yeah. I'm going to do it. And the ace in the hole is my truck is full of tools in the back end. So if everybody's busy and there's something that has to be done tomorrow, I'll show up and do it, you know? And so, That's how we can get by with that. And because we're super, even though we're in the handyman space, which is, it's a catch-all to a degree, we're still niche in what we do inside of the handyman space. So like we don't get on your roof. So I can't help you with that pine straw you mentioned. I'm so sorry. You know, I guess you're back on the roof now, but we don't do that. We don't do, internally, we don't do like plumbing inside the wall. So we can weed out a few things on the front end and make it fairly simple to jump out.
What are your thoughts right now on the current real estate market?
Man, how much time we have. It's realistically coming out of it, and I haven't been in it. I didn't come through 08. I didn't come through that cycle. So I can't speak to that. I came in at a really weird time when we were just, it was wild. You know, money was flowing, houses were hard to find, and now we're in a time where it's different. But what I've learned is no matter what the market is, there's a market, right? You just change how you invest in it. Doesn't matter what it's doing. But we came from, you know, 2 years ago, you could look on the MLS and there's 4 houses listed across the whole Jackson Metro. I'm being a little facetious, but it was, sure. it was not many. And then now there's 65 in Rankin County alone that are listed for sale. And so, interest rates going up obviously have a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
So we buy a lot of hours, off market just for marketing channels and different things. But the state of the market, you know, I'll say this, I'm not an agent. I'm just a buyer, you know, so somebody else's opinion could probably be very different, but I think real estate's hyper-focused even by neighborhood sometimes. So you could go to Crossgates in Brandon, and then you could go to a similar age neighborhood in Madison, and it's going to be a little bit different feel as far as how it's moving and what's trading and at what rate. And so I think you just have to – you can't blanket that discussion across the Jackson Metro either. But I think we're in an interesting time for sure. I don't know that anybody can predict what's about to happen. I'm just watching, you know, just like everybody else.
And you mentioned earlier that y'all do some stuff in other states as well.
We did. I pulled back probably a year and a half ago. About the time we were starting Steady, we were in Birmingham, Alabama, pretty heavy, and then North Mississippi in the Tupelo market. I still really like that market.
I feel like that's a hot market right now.
It's an interesting market. Yeah, Tupelo is not very big. Mm-hmm. The population during the day, I wish I could remember the statistics, is way higher than it is at night. So people come there to work a lot. But it's got one of the best rural hospital systems, I think, in this part of the country. And so there's a ton of residents and traveling nurses that go there. And so you have some short-term rental stuff that's pretty big. And they're pretty investor-friendly there. Their current administration, that town, is really big on updating properties. And they've got a really good city plan that's going on. And so and now everybody that's from here is going to start investing there because I'm talking it up so well. But it's a, you know, it's similar to here. There's a ton of investors, so it's kind of hard to break into it. But we, I had my mother lived there for a while, and so that's kind of how we were up there a good bit anyway. But yeah, it's a cool market. And then we did Toledo, Ohio for a little while. It's a random story, but we've backed out of pretty much all those except for what's right here, just mainly for my time for Steady. And then just with the market changing like it was, it made more sense to pull back here for a while.
What's the goal there with Steady? Is it to grow it and sell it, or is it to just grow?
I mean, it's built to sell for sure. That's like I said, when I started it, it's processed out. If I got hit by a bus, you could open the computer and run through the playbook and somebody else could run it. So it's definitely built to sell. I don't know. I can't say if I will or won't, but it's got visions of, and we may get into this in a little while, but there'll be some tucking in that's going on. We're going to start acquiring some other home service companies that are more trade specific. There's two in the works now. And so you'll probably start seeing some other names under the Steady logo, like Steady Electrical, Steady Plumbing, those kind of things.
Oh man, I love it. I love it. Love that growth mindset.
Yeah.
So what are you seeing differently locally versus like on a national scale as far as that niche that you were talking about for the home improvement?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. So I think that the handyman space is the last trade to be scaled. That's the last one to really be figured out. Plumbing's been figured out. Private equity's already playing a lot of that. And the handyman is starting to change. There was recently a big acquisition of a franchised model that Ace has gotten involved with, and you can research and look it up. It's a cool model. But what none of them have is a subscription model. And so, who knows? We may start that little chain and get it growing. But I think that the handyman space is the one that's, I said, like last one to be scaled. And they're starting to figure it out, but I think you will start seeing that more and more. There's a really big company in Houston that I'm watching that's got some pretty serious firepower behind it, but they were an HVAC company that spun one off, you know, and they had 3,000 people on the list they could email immediately and made sense to do that. But I think what you find mostly is in the handyman space, if you're fairly handy and have a drill and a hammer, you can scare up some work pretty quick, you know. But if you stay that guy, which is fine to be that guy, but if you stay that guy, that business doesn't scale. It's, if you go on vacation, it stops, right? If you're sick, it stops. So I think you have a lot of that in a market, and I think that's probably consistent across the country.
I think especially here in the South, yep. In the rural areas, there's a lot of do-it-all type people, mm-hmm. right? Men and women who just grew up and their parents taught them how to do everything around the house, and now they know it. And so mm-hmm. they can repair that washing machine if you need it repaired. They can repair your AC unit. You know, they That's can right. do all that stuff. So it's just, oh, you know, you call Tim down the road or you call Sue and they're going to come over and help you out and get you what you need for a real fair price and a handshake deal.
But, yeah. I would love to hire, like, those. That's, I mean, I would love to look. I want those people. Like, the guy who is by himself right now, and I have a guy that we're getting ready to hire, and then an electrician we work with is kind of a similar story. They're super experienced, right? They've been doing it a long time, sick of dealing with the schedule, sick of dealing with the invoicing, sick of dealing with the CRM that's the piece of paper in their truck, you know, and they just want to back off of support. They want to go out there and do their work. They're the lone wolf that just wants to go get it done. And so, like, come to me. Let's do that. Let's put you in a great truck and a big salary, and we'll take care of everything else.
You heard it here first.
You know?
Well, and I think, like, it goes to kind of growing up in Mississippi, especially rural Mississippi, you have to kind of know how to do a lot of things.
Yeah, that's right.
I know growing up, my dad would be like, hey, we're going to put a roof on this barn. And I'm like, have you ever put a roof on something before? And like, no, we can do it. And I'm like, oh, I'm not sure about this.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point. Yeah.
Son, just get up there.
Yeah. Just do it. No OSHA, no straps. You're going up. That's a great point, though. I mean, Itala County and what was that, Carroll County?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, especially if you're any, you're already rural. So if you step out into go to deer camp mode, like if something breaks, you're not running to town and nobody's coming to you. You got to figure it out. Right. So there's a lot of that going on. You're right.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, from a company standpoint that you're starting there, you know, that's good for you because that's potential employees, good employees that you're looking for that 100%. They can come out and plug and play first day. They, mm-hmm. you know, they may know more than you do.
Yeah. So. And the hardest part there that I'm, you know, it's everybody sees each other's competition and doesn't have to be that way. Like that, you can make money together and you can make this thing work together. And, if you got to just break that barrier down first, I think when you're looking the guy in the eye that's been doing it, you know, a long time, making them believe in you and trust in you, and it just takes a little time. But that's certainly what we'd like to do.
JR, how do you sell the model? So are you the salesperson? Do you have salespeople like BDRs, business development representative type people?
Yeah, it's been me primarily. Up until yesterday, we made a pretty key hire yesterday. It's going to be a really big growth pattern for the company. And, we kind of ponied up and we hired it's a licensed builder and has been running his own company. So kind of similar to what we just talked about. But he's going to come in as lead estimator and sales development kind of role. And then do some project management for us too. So, but as far as how we sell it, we do, you want to go into like marketing too as well? Maybe talk about that some.
Yeah, maybe just touch on it.
Yeah. So we do some Facebook stuff and from the subscription model, it's more just beating the bushes. So doing things like this, or going to networking events, or getting into Facebook groups for neighborhoods and dropping notes in there. But we also focus pretty heavy on the realtor side of the house, that for inspection punch lists. So
genius.
Same concept as around your house. It's little things, and nobody wants to go out there for that $2,000 repair. And as an investor and then former banker, I have been on the table, the closing table, when the inspection held up and you just couldn't get it closed, and then nobody would come do it, or they didn't do something right. Well, then the deal falls apart and nobody wins. You got a bunch of straight commission people sitting around that just didn't get paid, right? And so I think I've got a little soft spot in my heart for that piece of the puzzle. And so we've really tried to make that the second side of the business that we're, you know, it's probably 50% of what we do is on that side. And so for that, we just network heavy with realtors and say, hey, we can fix your problem.
Well, on the subscription side really makes sense, because, I mean, right now you have, I guess, your bug people that come to your house are going to be a subscription-based.
Yeah.
I mean, really everything as a consumer now, I'd say over 50% of the things that we have are on a subscription.
Yeah, so, we're a subscription society for sure.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
Even your phone is now $10 a month from Apple, you know, or whoever. So.
Yeah, I got so many subscriptions, I don't know what's going on.
You ever do an audit,
yeah,
you may
yeah,
be shocked.
I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
JR, what are some of the biggest challenges that you face right now?
Probably our biggest, and we're, you know, being a scrappy startup, it's no different than anybody else. It's just a division of labor and responsibility. And so I'm going to say the word people, but I don't mean that there's not good people we can't find. I don't mean that. There's tons of good folks right here that we can get. We just have to go find them and convince them to come over. And so when you've got, you know, us versus pick any corporation that can give some benefits, that can give 401ks and all those things, we can't offer a lot of that stuff. So we've got to get creative on what we can do, you know, whether it's time you want to offer, it's the 4-day work week that we offer, or whatever it is, you know, there's things we have to do to get creative. And so I would just say that, you know, getting people to come in, because I have a partner in Steady, and right now we wear so many hats that this new hire we've gotten is going to free that up for us to be able to get into the seats that we were put on this earth to be in and really help expand. And so just, no, like I said, no different than anybody else. It's just it's having people to divide the labor across.
Well, I think it's a good time for a bourbon break.
This is a very good bourbon, Tyler.
It is really good.
I was shocked. And when I think 30A, I think the beach. And so I was thinking it was going to taste like coconut rum or something, which tastes like sunscreen to me. So I wasn't super
you
excited
about it.
You
tasted a lot of sunscreen?
I mean, you know, over the years, that spray stuff, it just gets in your mouth.
Does.
There's just no avoiding it. So
you can't use the spray stuff on your face, Dakota.
Well, not on my face, but, you know.
Do you close your mouth?
He just turns it straight towards
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but
it with a spray.
All right. Anyway, so it's delicious.
I'm looking here. It's distilled in Indiana and rested at Sugarfield Spirits. I feel like I've got to do some research on that. I want to see what that means.
When you find out, let us know.
Yeah, I'll shoot an email in.
But for purposes of this, Tyler, what were you at, a 9.7?
9.7.
Golly, that's a high rating. I'm going to go 9.1, though. Easily a 9.
Dakota always comes in with the lower ratings. So.
Easily a 9. I'm the Simon Cowell of the bourbon podcast.
Bourbon.
How do you distinguish between the 0.1, like what is in your head if you were to go 9.6 or 9.7?
It's how the air's blowing that morning.
I like it. Okay, cool. It blew you left. Got it.
Depends on what I got in my pocket that day.
Well, I know you touched on this. You know, you briefly touched on expansion and the future. But what do you envision for your companies moving forward?
Yeah, so real estate, nothing has really changed there for us on the investment side. We're still, and I guess I didn't go into that much, but we like single family is where we spend a lot of our time doing house flipping there and then buy and hold rentals. But I'm also looking at multifamily stuff. There's just, those have been really hard to come by. Everybody else is also looking at the same size stuff we're looking at as well as institutional money. So it's hard for a little guy to get their hands on some of that. So I think we'll continue to do that. The flipping world will continue forever. It'll always be there. But with Steady, growth pattern there is a little bit what I touched on earlier. It's going to be tucking in some other home service companies, I think, you know, getting more into some trade specific items so that we can offer all of that in house and not have to bring in the subs that we use now. The goal is to bring those subs in and W2 them and give them a good piece of the pie along with us. And then the real estate lending business that we have, it's where we cater to house flippers. It'll continue to do that here in the Jackson Metro. And try to help them get going.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, with us being in downtown Jackson here recording, there's a lot of positive things going on in Jackson right now that I feel like that the housing market and things like that are going to take off here soon. So,
yeah.
Or already have to
a point. 100%. And there's a lot of, and y'all interview a ton of them on here. There's super talent around this area in a lot of industries that all, I mean, there's not many industries that don't touch the housing market, right, at some point. And we've got some really good folks here that are helping prop that thing up. So that's good.
Well, we always like to end this. Tell us if we have listeners that say, hey, I'm wanting to sign up and get on a subscription basis, or I need a handyman to come out to my house, what is the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, steadyhomemaintenance.com. And I have to sound that out. It's got a lot of syllables, right? We picked a big one, steadyhomemaintenance.com. And then there's tons of buttons on there that tell you where to go to sign up for subscriptions. And our Facebook pages are a really good opportunity, too, to look and see what we're doing. And that'll give you a good idea of what we can help you with.
Well, great. Well, we appreciate you coming on today.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Dakota, it was a pleasure.
Always, Tyler.
So, to all our listeners, if you would go on social media and give us a follow, and however you stream this podcast, give us a rating, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
If you have any feedback or would like to be featured, reach out to us at bourbonandbusinesspodcast@gmail.com.
Or find us on Instagram at bourbonandbusinesspodcast.
Thanks again for listening.
Follow us for more content and info on the next episode.